The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. Good Shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. Amen. Please be seated. I don't think we do this enough. I don't think we actually preach or pray on the Psalms enough in the Episcopal Church. Truly. We sing them, we pray them, we hear them, we do all kinds of things with them to help them really be ingrained in us. But how often do we really dig into what the words mean? Especially the psalm from tonight, Psalm 23. I did a service this morning at the Mayflower. We do one once a month at All Saints, the clergy go. And Psalm 23 was the psalm from Sunday, so that's what we did. And it was beautiful because I was in this room with a bunch of people, most of whom are over 100, fun fact. And I said, we're going to read Psalm 23 together today. All of us, all the verses. And I look up, and no one's looking at the BCP in front of them, right? No one's got their prayer book open. No one's got their Bible open. They have it open to the page from before where the service was. But at this moment, no one was using it. There are a dozen of us in the room and not one person is using it. And as I look around and we're reading Psalm 23, we're reciting it, I can see everyone saying the slightly different version that they memorized. Because we know Psalm 23, we've heard it. But have we actually ingrained it into our hearts? I can recite a bunch of stuff. In eighth grade, we memorized part of the Declaration of Independence, and we could recite that too. But Psalm 23, is it in our hearts in the same way? As quickly as we can recite it. And so tonight, we're going to go verse by verse, quickly-ish. And we're going to actually talk about these promises that God makes to us in this psalm, because it's beautiful. It starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Right off the bat, he promises us, just like we heard in the gospel, that he is our shepherd. He is guiding us. And then he promises that we won't be in want, which if you ask any of the fifth graders in our children's ministry, they have a lot of wants. We just did a story recently, we're reading the story of Joseph, and one of the little ones said to me, "Revlo, I know it says that he only interprets two dreams, but can I add a third dream? I have a really good one." You know what, buddy? Sure, we can add a third dream. Because we as humans, it's such a silly example. And of course, you know his third dream was that Pharaoh absolutely wanted a PlayStation 5. Just to be very clear, that was the third dream that he wanted to add into the story. Because it's as silly of an example as it is. It says something about human nature. We want a lot of things. When you're in fifth grade, maybe that is a PlayStation 5. But as we grow and get older, those wants change. We want peace in our families. We want health. We want more time together. We have wants, and yet in the first verse, the Lord promises us that He is our shepherd. We shall not be in want because He's going to provide for us. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. It's the most beautiful visual. Not only does He lead us, but He leads us in the most beautiful of ways, comforting ways. If you think about the places you've been in the world that bring you the most peace, chances are it wasn't dead grass. Chances are you might be a beach person. We are in Florida. There's something about where He leads us. And the picture that these words in particular bring in, there's peace. He's providing. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for His name's sake. He is what we need. He Himself. And He's promising Himself to us in these words. He's reviving our souls. We just need to reach out to Him. He promises all this peace, all this guidance. And then we read verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And we have this big swing between, I promise You all this peace. This is what walking with Me is like, peace. But even when you feel like you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when it feels like flames are all around you, when you cannot see your way backwards or forwards or side to side, when you are overcome in the pit of despair, He says, I promise to still lead you then. I promise to still comfort you then. That when life is as messy as you could even fathom and you are on the floor, I promise to lead you. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil and my cup is running over. He promises us. He promises us His anointing. He promises us Himself. That's what He's dedicating to. Nothing less than Himself. And then we end it with this. Surely Your goodness and Your mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's something in that last verse I don't think we ever talk about enough. It's beautiful. It's one of the most stunning promises that God makes to us. But He promises us all the days of our life. All of them. And here's what He doesn't say in there. He doesn't add any qualifiers. I promise all the days of your life, not all the days of your human life, not all the days that you're not annoying, not all the days that you're not going through it. He promises that His goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. It takes my breath away every time because I'm here to tell you there's no one in this room, please, me included, that does not have many, many days where they are more annoying than they can even fathom. And yet, Christ doesn't say He's going to abandon us. When we, like we talked about Sunday, if you were here, Good Shepherd Sunday, we talked about what a shepherd and leading the sheep really means. When we are so focused on our own existence, either looking forward or looking backwards, but we refuse to see what God is doing in the here and now. He still promises to be with us. He promises that his goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.